everybody. Welcome to a Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. We've got Kena and Gunner alongside, and Gatto in as well. We'll take you to 3 o'clock and hand it off to our good buddy Phil Benatia's fine show behind the bench. The full 3 hours today. A's and Giants both off because they're getting ready to play one another beginning tomorrow at Oracle. I'll tell you all about the schedule for the rest of the week a little bit later on, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. We mind you every day, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net on the web. When we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790, I'll talk about the great fundraising that Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering. Jackson with me today for the third week in a row. Paul Leffler and Jackson are flip-flop. Last couple of weeks, it was Jackson's schedule that needed to be maneuvered. Today, it happens to be Paul's, so it'll be Jackson today and Paul tomorrow, and then next week we'll get back to normal. And I'll tell you again about the lineup for the rest of the week a little bit later on. But before we get to Jackson, who is, by the way, waiting on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Mark that down. That's how you can reach Phil. That's how you can reach Gonzo in the morning with his great show, Valley Rise, which is back with us from 6 to 9. So mark it down because those two are the ones doing the heavy lifting. Me, I slide in on the lunch hour here and then run off to do something else at 3 o'clock. You guys know how it works by now. I just wish I had some sleep. But you know what? I look like a guy who hasn't slept in about 69 and a half years. That's all I'm telling you. That's why I stay away from the station, because nobody needs to see that. All right, we'll get to Jackson, our de facto co-host, a couple of minutes. But first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you, as they do every day. The aforementioned Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Allow me the time every day to bring you the weather. Terrific local people. Lee's has been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really great people to have around. Terrific competitive pricing. Always available for you. You can give them a call at 825-5337-825-LEES or leesair.com. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, these are the people to see. As far as the forecast goes, as we are now officially in summer, this is actually the first full day of summer. Summer started yesterday, about like halfway through the day. And if it's going to stay this way, which it's not for the rest of summer, we're going to be okay. 96 today, 99 tomorrow. The lows are going to be in the high 60s to right around 70, so nothing to complain about. Then a 101 on Thursday, and then right back to the 90s. 95, 92, and 91 over the weekend. So you're looking in the 7 day, only two triple-digit days, one at 102, one at 101. We know the heat is coming, but so far it looks pretty good. So once again, enjoy your time outside. But the same proviso we've been telling you about for over 50 years now on air, stay away from the waterways, particularly the rivers. You know, it's tempting, but it's a lot colder than you think, and the current is moving a lot quicker than you think. And every weekend, unfortunately, we hear about a disaster somewhere in the valley. So be very careful, even with a backyard pool, but particularly the waterways like the rivers and to a slightly lesser degree the lakes. But again, enjoy yourself out there, and thanks everybody at Lee's for affording us the time. One more time, 825-5337-825-Lee's or leesair.com. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, these are the people to see. Final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend, longtime benefactor at Fresno State, and longtime sponsor of the show, and that's our buddy Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. We've known Joe for a long, long time. His terrific business now in its 26th year. He's over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town, Suite 103. You can always reach him on the web at superiorpipeusa.com or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sps@gmail.com, or call him directly at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there under one roof. Talk about it each and every day. If you're working around a valve, if you're a plant or maintenance person, tanker delivery service operator, working around a boiler, if you're at a dairy, anybody who relies upon a valve, for your productivity. I was just talking about my son taking care of a major project from an international company, right? He's up in Santa Clara trying to get this thing done, working on all the electronics. And one of the subcontractors did not take care of their valves and ended up flooding the entire place while he's trying to work with all the cabling and wiring. So we talked about this. If a valve goes down, I don't care what your business is, if you're relying upon a valve and it goes down, your business can go down with it. One of the great aspects of Joe's business is not only the personalized service, but the same-day estimates, the same-day analysis of what's going on to try to get you up and running if you're down, or to keep you seamlessly moving forward without taking that catastrophic financial hit. And if you go in to see Joe, he'll take care of you first and foremost, and then if you have a little bit of time, he will tell you what he has done as a benefactor for Fresno State for over three decades. It will point you right now to the main website, GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. Bulldog Foundation has a link. Club Red, which is for former student athletes getting involved, that's under that header. The major giving societies also are there. The Green Bee Society, Myers Champion Circle, they have their link. And then under ways to give, Valley Co-op, which is the matching funds entity, is sitting right there. Valley Fueled is there. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Ferdy with me every week to talk basketball on the board of directors of the timeout club. Jack has said they'd love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much. It's a tremendous social organization, but also a lot of inside information because the coaches come into the meetings every couple of weeks and tell you what's going on. Jack has said you want more information, give him a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, ferdyjack@aol.com. You'll also find links to other sports there, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports under sports clubs. And then finally, the singular word more is there for just that, more information. Click on that. It'll tell you about tickets and parking for all events on campus. It will tell you how you can order tickets through your iPhone or Android device. So it's kind of one-stop shopping at GoBulldogs.com. And want to mention now what we've been talking about for the last several months. We are ready to go again as the flagship for Fresno State. We were there from 2013 to 2020. This time it's 1430 and 790, and we're just a week or so away from being the official home of Fresno State Athletics. All the broadcast over air, but also the tremendously important partnership, the first time ever that you have a local entity like Chris and everybody at the station with Bulldog Sports Enterprises in partnership with Fresno State to try to drive things forward financially. If you want more information for that, contact Chris or Nico or Enrique or anybody at the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com, and we'll certainly tell you more about that as we roll toward the start of the football season. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you more about Ed's business when we go over the schedules. And thanks, as always, to our longtime friends and sponsors at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, it is our de facto co-host, the King of the Park Board. Again, men want to be him. Women want to be with him. I got it right this time. Last time we had it reversed. It is the always good sport, as if he has a choice. He can always hang up. It's Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Just fine. I liked it the other way, okay? I how about you? Probably not, right? All right. I told you, if you'll just pay me off, I'll quit harassing you about this. But if you're not going to pay off, I can't stop this, Jackson. That's how it works, all right? I'm a grifter. You know that. You know, I'll be running for office pretty soon, and don't you dare. All right. Having been said, I know. You want to open with what your Grizzlies are going to do in the draft? Because I hear they're going to draft this kid, Ja Morant, out of Murray State. I don't know if you heard about him. They say he's a little bit problematic, but he's a hell of a player. Is that where you guys are going? You get a redraft Ja and try to start all over again tomorrow night?
Well, that's what's fun about draft day, is that was one of the most exciting days in recent Memphis Grizzly history, and we get a chance to try to make a new one today.
Well, they'll be fine, because you and I both know the Western Conference isn't competitive at all. By the way, I do want to mention this because we do have full draft coverage through ESPN, of course, around the Giants and the A's between 790 and 1430. But it's also on ESPN television. And also tonight, I don't want to forget this, we hit the national championship deciding game tonight between North Carolina and Oklahoma at Schwab Stadium there in Omaha. 4 o'clock ESPN television tonight, and I'm glad that they got to game three because with the weather and putting games over a very, very busy sports weekend, unfortunately, the first two games got buried in a lot of people's public consciousness. Tonight they get front and center at 4 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock Eastern, to decide the national championship. I hope people watch that. And then tomorrow ESPN and ABC will have day one, the two-day draft. First round tomorrow, second and final round on Wednesday. And as a Warrior fan, Jackson, we like to refer to it as a chance for the Warriors to screw up another draft day. That's what we call it. Okay. We bring James Wiseman in to remind everybody of what it's like to wee away. I cleaned it up for air. The second pick of the draft. So I don't want to hear about your heartache. As far as I'm concerned, your Grizzlies can move back to Vancouver where they belong. And as I've told you, you know who the first announcer of the Vancouver Grizzlies was supposed to be, right? That's right. You're talking to him. That's right. All right. That just didn't work out. I didn't know they were going to move to Memphis anyway. Okay. Let's get started here on a variety of fronts. First, as far as Fresno State goes, you were telling me off air today, 20 commits overall. Is that what we have for 2027?
Yeah, 20 commitments now, up from 6. Before our official visit started over the last 4 weeks. So just goes to show how important this time of year really is for the recruiting process. They've really hit on a very high percentage of their official visitors. They have kind of limited who they brought in. They've been a little bit smaller weekends, maybe by a couple of numbers and maybe some of the past weekends, but they've really narrowed in on the guys they really like, and they've really scored. They haven't missed on many. They've only lost one recruit this whole process, to Michael Burks, who flipped away to BYU. But other than that, it's been a lot of wins for Fresno State on the recruiting trail. And this past weekend, they picked up 4 more. They landed Carl Weigel, who's the younger brother of Oscar Weigel, who transferred in from San Diego this year. Spent most of spring as the starting center. Little brother Carl is similarly sized, and they look like they could be about twins, even though they're, I think, about 3 years apart. So hopefully the Bulldogs got another good one in him. He's out of Carmel High School. They also added Kota Kashimo out of Irvine High School. He's originally from Japan, a big 6'5", 305-pound tackle, who's a pretty intriguing prospect. He kind of blew up here the last few days on the recruiting trail with the camp circuit. Didn't have a lot of offers, but went to these camps and picked up a lot of them, including Fresno State, who offered him on the spot 1 week ago, and then he commits 1 week later on his official visit. So same thing for Weigel. It was a pretty quick process with those two. Austin Plaza out of Clovis East also went to that camp 2 weekends ago, landed the offer, committed a week later. He's an interior lineman out of Clovis East, 6'2", about 300, a little on the smaller end, but still certainly big enough to be a center for the Bulldogs. So they bring in 3 linemen on top of the 2 they already had for a nice class of 5. They also added Rene Garcia, who was offered at Friday night's camp at Fresno State, and he committed less than 48 hours later. He's out of Stockton at St. Mary's High School this season. So a nice group of 4 that they've added to the class to bring it from 16 to 20. And still a couple more needs to fill, a couple of targets left to go. So certainly a little more room for this class to grow even further.
You know, we've taken it for granted, and it is the day and age we live in. But you ever take a step back and say you're describing a 300-pounder as a bit undersized? I'm just curious. I mentioned this. Go ahead.
I feel for Austin Plaza because he's had a tough time getting recruited, and the big knock on him has been his size. But, I mean, you look at him, and he's a big guy. And you also look at him amongst even other offensive linemen, and he's not that much smaller. I've seen him at a lot of camps and, you know, 5-on-5 competitions, and he's just been absolutely winning one-on-ones over and over. I've very rarely seen him getting beat. And so, you know, he is a guy where if he does grow another inch or two, he'd be an absolute steal at Fresno State, getting him early in the process. The Bulldogs were his first and only offer. So we've seen plenty of undersized centers. I mean, he's probably 3 inches taller than Matt Smith, but Coach Entz and his crew, they've got a little bit of a different idea for what the arrow line's supposed to look like in this offense, and they like big people, and Paz is not Braden Walton by any means, but I think he is big enough to make it at this next level, especially if he hits a late growth spurt.
Well, you know, Jesse Cipolla, of course, we saw the Cipollas here. Jesse Cipolla was thought to be undersized and also ended up winning 4 Super Bowls. And so, and I do understand, but you know, the measurables are always looking at your wingspan and all of that. But I mentioned this to you, Jackson, a few years ago, that when ESPN Classic was still around, you know, ESPN has taken that down now, that they played the 1980 Sugar Bowl. That's when Herschel Walker and Georgia were there. And the legendary Keith Jackson was doing the game. And it wasn't that Keith was inaccurate. It's just representative of the time, right? He's talking about the starting offensive line for Georgia. And he's going, 260, 265, they're biggins. And a tight end at 225. Like that, I'm thinking of myself. And I'm watching that a few years ago. You know what? I know the evolutionary process of this, but it is astounding now that guys are rolling around at 340 and nobody's blinking, right?
Yeah, there's some massive linemen, especially what Fresno State's been able to compile here. With you got look at Braden Walton and Roland Fulwood at tackle. I mean, it's about as big as it gets. And they got another one in this class, Justin Ortiz. He's probably the tallest lineman I've seen on the whole offseason looking at these camps. He's listed at 6'7". He might be 6'8" by now. So they're hard to – they exist. It's a little harder for Fresno State to bring in, but they've been able to do it here.
By the way, Al Bundy used to talk about biggins too, but he was talking about something else. You might have caught that on Fox back in the 90s. Don't you dare. You want to follow up with that? Would you like to? You want to go right on by? He was the first. He was, of course, referring to wide receivers, is what I'm talking about, Jack. Okay. As far as we don't enable me. Don't do it on a Monday. All right. Wait till Friday. You think you're in trouble now? You just wait till Friday, provided there's still a show on Friday. About the difficulty of recruiting the lines. D-line still the toughest place to recruit to, unless you have Clay Campbell with $4 billion to buy your way through like Texas Tech?
Yeah, I've been a little bit surprised by the staff this year because, you know, we saw them tap into Nebraska, and they also recruited quite a bit in Colorado and Utah, and we saw them go to Missouri for some linemen and Illinois, you know, some of the states that maybe they had past connections with, and a lot of those targets were on the line. And this year's class, 18 out of 20 are from California right now, and all the offensive linemen are from California. And you look a little closer, you've got Bakersfield, Hillmar, and Clovis East on that list of commitments, and 2 more from Southern California. So they haven't had to travel far. I like the approach they're taking on the defensive line, where I think D-tackle is a very difficult position to recruit, but there's just a real wealth of edge players in this day and age. So they're getting a lot of talent at edge, which will be defensive ends in this system. And then they're finding maybe some of those edge prospects that have a larger frame that can maybe grow into a tackle. So I think that's kind of the hack they're trying to do there to find defensive tackles at a little bit of a discount, so to speak. Solomon Baker was the guy that they brought in last year's class. He was committed as a DN at 240 out of Nebraska. He puts on 20 pounds before he gets to Fresno State. He adds another 20 as an early enrollee, and now he's a 6'3", 280-pound D-tackle that might be able to play some snaps as a true freshman. So I think the D-tackle spot's the toughest, and they found some ways around it. And then, in this 27 class, I'm just very fortunate that there was a lot of talent in the Valley where they didn't have to go out too far and convince too many players to come to town.
How solid are the commitments these days as compared to previous times, Jackson? I was just reading the Chronicle about Mark Madsen. Of course, you know this well because you've published that Cal board for a number of years. Mark Madsen, of course, played ball at Stanford and was one of the worst dancers in history, by the way, in celebrations. But the head coach, basketball-wise, at Cal, talking about you know, after having a fine year last year, they've already lost two of their top line players and has said they are $10 million short of what they need to hold on to people. In this day and age of NIL, and we've talked about it, that it doesn't quite touch Fresno State the way it does the P4s, but do you wonder whether everybody stays the course, or do you say that past is prologue, and so far Matt Entz has been able to keep everybody pretty much in tow? How do you view this, the commits to 2027 being here when they're supposed to be?
Yeah, I think, you know, the large majority sticks across the country. Just the way that the recruiting calendar works, pretty much early July, most of these classes across the country are filled, and most recruits are claiming their spots, and there's very few that are still out there that have a lot of offers that are waiting it out all the way till December. And for that reason, there's just not a lot of room for movement, but it really only takes one domino to affect you. If USC loses a tight end and decides someone on Fresno State's class is the next one they want,
right,
and they throw some money their way, you know, that Fresno State's probably going to lose that guy, and then they're going to have to look for another one on their list. They're all hypothetical, but you know, you can see that happening to a player or two. But for the most part, there's just not a lot of opportunity for that movement to happen. Currently, you just kind of worry about other recruits visiting other schools, which there's been a little bit of that in Fresno State's class. I don't know how much the Bulldog staff is appreciative of that, or if they're letting that happen, or they might move on from some of those recruits. You know, we saw the 1D commit to Michael Burks went to BYU.
Right.
I think the recruits that commit in March or April, there's a little more room for them to change their mind by July, whereas these June commits, they're pretty much locking in through December.
Yeah, it's funny. There was an IndyCar race at Elkhart Lake yesterday, which is a legendary true road course in Wisconsin. And I look up before the race, and I see a very familiar face, and it was Evan Williams. there, admittedly saying he's never seen an IndyCar race before, which means, of course, what happened is the organizers and the fact that Fox TV has the races called the Packers and said, we need to get a representative here. And so they brought Evan in, and every time I see his face, all I can think of, he was kind of the poster child for one of the first moves away from here that had everything to do with money, maybe even more than the prestige of going to Oregon, right?
Yeah, so definitely player retainment on the roster, that's a different equation, and it's going to be tough to keep those very top-end players. And fortunately for this staff and this current team, there weren't a ton of those guys this last year. Only Richie Anderson was the one that got away. Some big-time playmakers for the Bulldogs, the Rayshon Lukes and the Simeon Harrises and whatnot, they were able to keep around. So I think you're going to have to live with a couple of those guys getting poached away, but it's been nice to see the staff, you know, really dig into the recruiting and the developing. And cornerback's a good example. They lose two starters to graduation, and they didn't really go in the portal to address that. They feel like they've got the players already developing beneath William Hamilton and Jakari Embry to come in and do that job. So I think these big recruiting classes, 20-plus this year, 20-plus last year, you know, we may see them pay dividends in the next couple of years as some of the Evan Williams's of the upcoming rosters get away.
And by the way, Evan was not racing. Don't misunderstand. they didn't put him in the tub there and have him. I don't think he would have fit, for goodness sake. All right. Not a lot of like 6'4 racers out there. But it was interesting to see him there, and it sort of reminded me of the frustration we had. The approach you're talking about is an interesting one, though, Jackson, to just develop as many players as possible and figure if attrition hits you, you still have viable guys. That can only work, though, if you can recruit enough baseline, right, that you've got interchangeable parts. How tough is that to get interchangeable parts? I mean, you can get them if they're mediocre, but to get outstanding players that are all interchangeable in case you lose a few, that is a very daunting prospect. And I think it comes back to what we're talking about. As important as the players are, keeping this coaching staff together is going to be every bit the battle as trying to retain players in the years to come if the Bulldogs have requisite success this year, right?
Yeah, well, with the approach, I think you're just really betting on yourselves as coaches that you're capable of developing those players and having them ready, even though they haven't played much game experience. There's, again, pretty good amount of Bulldogs. Well, last year was a good example. These coaches just showed up with a lot of the players they inherited. Deep tackle is a good example. There was virtually no experience, and the defense wouldn't have been nearly as good as it was without the play of those defensive tackles, the Dejon Lafitte and Martin Alusus. All those guys stepped up. So I think we've already seen it to a degree. I think as long as you recruit a decent baseline of talent and you believe in your staff to develop those guys to be ready, and you have a system that is, I guess, not too exotic, you know, you can step in. I think we're going to see a little bit this year and probably more so next year if some of these guys that are being pegged to step in are ready. I think on paper it's a lot easier to go out and get transfers to come fill those spots, but in the NIL world, it's just those guys aren't quite available like they were just a few years ago, that Fresno State was seemingly bringing in 21, 22, 23. The game has changed quite a bit since then, where there's not a lot of top receivers or offensive linemen you can go find at a reasonable price these days in the portal.
Right. One last thing about this, the breakdown of local recruits and then within state recruits, and we've talked about the import of that. What you're seeing in 2027, is it pretty much the norm that we saw, for instance, under Jeff Tedford? I don't want to go back to Pat Hill's time because that was a different situation entirely because he didn't have NIL and transfer portal. But Teddy's time to DeBoer's time to now, is it a greater emphasis right now on the local talent, about the same, and the in-state talent as well?
Yeah, well, they've definitely tried to put a fence up in the valley and keep the best talent in town, and they've done a really good job of that. There's a lot of Clovis, Bakersfield, Tulare, you know, a lot of key prospects in this class are real close to home, and guys that had a lot of Pac-12 offers and even a couple of Power 4 offers in there that Fresno State kept home. That's a clear emphasis. I think probably a little bit different this year compared to last, which makes this more like a Jeff Tedford class, is there's a lot more emphasis on Northern California. I think it's just kind of worked out that way. I think Stockton, Sacramento, there's been a lot of talent that's kind of gone under the radar there, and Fresno State's jumping on some of those guys that they've been able to evaluate at the camps. There's even a couple of fights between the Bulldogs and Sac State for a couple of players here down the stretch, that really they're the only two programs in the footprint of some of these players that got missed a little bit and are popping up on the camp circuit. Southern California also represented well. So I think it's just kind of worked out that way. They've seen enough talent that they like on the road, and they went out and got them. And they haven't really had to go out to Nebraska too much or anywhere, basically, east of California, outside of two commits in this class. So I think maybe the staff's just settled in a little bit, found more connections, found more pockets of talent, and they're not wasting their time leaving California when they feel like they got enough talent right here.
Right. By the way, our buddy David had emailed in and talked about that a lot of the O-line recruits, he had mentioned that Coach Markarian had him at Cal Poly first and then they're at Fresno State now, and he was wondering, is that a case of FCS talent that they're trying to somehow mesh with the needs of an FBS school, or do you say they are just underdeveloped talent right now and that's why they're at FCS first, or is the jury still out in that regard?
I think it's just a challenge to scout. I think if you look at the O-line transfers that they brought in this last season, they've got one junior college recruit, one from the FCS level, and one who's been at a Power 4 for a long time, and the FCS player is the one that seemed to pan out the best. And then you look at quarterback, same kind of thing the last couple of years. You know, looks like the Power 4 option might be hopefully Fresno State's answer here, unless Jaden Mandel can win the job. So I think there's still some trial and error there. And this class, you know, this line class doesn't have a ton of offers, but you know, they got a lot of size and they got a lot to work with. And most of them had a Mountain West or a Pac-12 school going after them.
Well, again, we'll talk more about it on Friday. We'll also talk about the needs that are being addressed for this season, because it's, you know, we talk so much about the NFL draft and a guy's potential and all of that. Evan Williams is a case in point. In reality, one of the major differences is in the NFL, of course, you play out a season, then you make choices for the next year. In college, here we are talking about 2027 when the focus on the field is 2026. It can get a little tricky sometimes when you're analyzing a draft class that you haven't even seen the prior year now play yet, correct? So I guess we're going to know more about the need card, you know.
It wasn't long ago you would see someone in the Valley have a big senior year and all of a sudden they're a huge priority where there's not much room, even in August. So there's, you know, a few players that'll squeeze in here with big senior seasons, but most of the recruiting process is by the end of your junior year into your senior summer. That's about the deadline right now for schools to be able to take the time to evaluate you.
Well, again, we will talk more about 2026 as the days peel off. We still have 2.5 months until we kick things off. And I mentioned on air the other day, and it was mentioned to you before we came up today, that San Jose State late ad that, as I think people are aware, that the Trojans, the Bulldogs, were supposed to, that game, that was scheduled for September 5th at the Coliseum. Of course, it's at September 4 now. That game was supposed to be the opener for both Fresno State and USC. It still is the opener for Fresno State, but the Trojans have that late ad against San Jose State on 0 week, the end of August, and that game is also on national TV, on true national TV. So the Trojans will open up against San Jose State on big NBC, meaning the over-the-air NBC for us, Channel 24. And then 6 days later, the Bulldogs and the Trojans will play on Big Fox for us, Channel 26. And as I was telling Jackson, and he knows this, it's not about San Jose State and Fresno State. It's about the network's desire to get that L.A. market on. But it does afford everybody the chance to not only see SC and San Jose State, but also to help market your program for a couple of weeks. And for Fresno State, a great chance to market things on that September 4 night. So we'll continue to talk about 2026 a little bit more, but we have a lot of time between now and then. Jackson, in the few minutes we have today before you and I reconvene on Friday, I want to ask you about Brendan Sorsby. We didn't get a chance to get into it much. The consensus is, because I think people are aware by now, though a couple of the lawsuits are still pending, that he is going to go into the supplemental draft at the end of July and is almost assuredly going to be drafted because he was thought to be either the second or third best quarterback for next year's draft. So somebody's going to take a shot at him. I don't think it will be a first-round pick, but somebody might spend a second-rounder, et cetera, for him. When you look at Sorsby, your opinion, is he worth the risk? Do you look at it? You know, we're kidding around, right, that the NFL is so hung up on talent that the line was, as we talked last week, if Hannibal Lecter were a prize recruit, a general manager would explain it as he has an eating disorder. Okay, that's how they would justify it. I'm saying, with Sorsby, they're going to justify it. Is it a mistake, in your opinion, or do you think he is the guy who has been burned by this, so he's the least likely person to do this again? Or do you say, if it is a sickness, that maybe it's something that will be revisited no matter how hard he tries to avoid it?
Well, we talked about before what a complicated thing this was, and it was this outcome wasn't the only real clear answer to get out of the issue in college football, or Texas Tech and the Big 12 were battling. I mean, this was the one safety line that really, I think, was the best option for just about everybody involved, and didn't expect to see that happen. I think between 32 teams, someone's got a situation at quarterback where they should be desperate enough to give it a shot. Obviously, he's got a lot of upside, projected as a future NFL player after this season. And I think it's a little less of an issue, I guess, the professional level and the college level with his background. And I think you can get out of it a lot easier compared to the type of NIL implications that Texas Tech was dealing with. So right. I think it's a lot less of a risk, especially in the supplemental situation. I should assume most NFL teams kind of have an idea of what they're doing at QB1 and QB2. And if they bring him in, it's the only upside if he exceeds his projection. So the only downside is if that pops up and if he's playing. And I guess if he's playing on paper, you did a good job scouting him. So I think he makes it somewhere, but I would assume a lot of teams are just not going to touch it.
Well, as we've mentioned, one of the unfortunate parts of the timing, and he didn't intend to do this. This wasn't going with the pretense of going to Texas Tech. Clay Campbell, of course, is the $4 billion man there and heads up the Board of Regents at Texas Tech, paying him $6 million for this year, and evidently has said that he won't ask for the money back. And the situation is, if you were going to jump into the supplemental draft, you wouldn't do it in a year where you got this deep a draft coming up in the spring, because any supplemental pick you make right now comes out of your draft choices in the spring of 2027. And that's why it's not likely even the Jets, who have three number ones, are going to be willing to spend the number one on him. But if they do view him talent-wise as the second or third best quarterback coming out, then I think you're justified in spending a second-round pick. Most of the time, the rare occurrences we've seen supplemental picks, they're usually rounds three, four, or five they're willing to give up. This is an exceptionally talented guy, but is carrying, as you mentioned, Jackson, we've talked before, the worst kind of baggage you can possibly carry in as far as being someone who was gambling on his own team. Although, I guess in fairness, though he placed, 9,000 bets, none of them were placed at Indiana while he was actually playing. He was redshirting. And speaking of that, right now, or at least sitting out, I think, and I'm pretty sure about this, that the NFL will probably require whoever it is that gets this supplemental choice, probably require them to sit him out for a year, which is going to be interesting, Jackson, because I guess in theory that would mean, if they're saying that he can't officially be drafted, and I don't know the legality of this, can he be officially drafted now? And it counts toward 2027, so this would be, if you will, his redshirt year, or is he going to have to sit a year beyond, do you know? I think they're I think they're going to allow him to use the pick now, because it would be justified to sit him 2026 and put him on the practice squad. It would be a little difficult to say, no, that applies to 2027, which would put him out for two full years, correct?
Yeah, that part too. So I'm not sure the semantics of how it winds up, but I think someone takes a chance on him one way or another.
Yeah, this isn't the Larry Bird situation where, you know, you're holding his draft rights and waiting for him, or Bo Jackson, right, waiting for him to come available. I believe, if I've got this right, that the supplemental pick that you would make at the end of July will, of course, take it off of your picks for April of 2027, but he will be part of your team for 2026. I'm pretty sure that's the case. To me, it's the only way you can justify it. I'll ask you this. Are you pulling for him? I mean, do you want to see him succeed? Do you care? I mean, he's kind of become the poster child about everything that's wrong with college sports right now, right? Which is win at all costs.
Yeah, I would say I don't want to be against anyone in particular, but I didn't want to see him get eligible for everything that was on his resume there just to be cleared and play college athletics. I think the precedent that would have set would have been real rough to deal with and been very troublesome. So, move him on to the NFL. Whatever happens, happens. As far as I'm concerned, is glad college was able to evade that hurdle.
And if Cincinnati will drop their lawsuit, and the last I checked, the Big 12 has still not dropped its lawsuit, they can clean all of this up. They can all forget about it, and the Big 12 is going to have to deal with the internal squabbling that pitted 15 member schools against one member school. And in that regard, Sorsby did them a big favor. Last thing for you, and of course we'll reconvene on Friday. As you view where we're sitting right now, do you hold out any hope that Congress is going to be able to do anything of import between now and November? I'm talking about what Cruz and Cantwell are trying to do. Any chance they're going to be able to get this done? It's been through committee now. 19-9 was the vote, but now it goes to the Senate floor. It's a magnificently difficult proposition, because it's out there all over the place. It's a cause celeb, But the cold, hard reality is trying to find enough senators to jump into this thing does not appear to be likely. How do you feel about it?
It seems unlikely to have massive changes, but for me, the one thing I have circled is if they can somehow enforce the one transfer and 5 years of eligibility, if they can get that through somehow and do whatever else they need to do to make that happen, I think that really changes the landscape of the portal and makes it a lot less like free agency. So I don't see how they can fix all of this, but if they could get those two things through one way or another, I think it would go a long way to fixing what's going on right now.
I agree with you. Vance Wahlberg has said, as irritating as NIL is, it is the transfer portal and the combination of the two that makes it tough. I said it last week, Jackson. I'll say it again. This is something that requires painting with an artist's brush, meaning very careful, right? Not a Wagner power painter. You can't be creating too wide a swath of damage as you go through. If you do, you're going to have senators backing away. That's why Cruz, knowing that Republicans in particular do not want to have employees at the college level because they feel as though that is going to make it difficult for the schools without a lot of money to even compete anymore. He knows as much as they need to define an employee-employee relationship, otherwise they can't have collective bargaining. If he brings it up, and he's said the quiet part out loud, if he brings it up, he's not going to get the votes. So he cannot even address the employee-employer relationship. It's going to make it very difficult to get unanimity to get this thing through, but at least they're trying. Jackson, I appreciate it. On the board, 50% off right now, and for how long?
Yes, currently 50% off. We're going to keep that going for a while here. So if you join now, it's just $5.84 a month that way. You get in on all the official visit scoop and the recruiting intel going on, and we're going to have a lot of content going on in July when I know it's a starved month for Fresno State football content. So got a lot of interviews, talked to a lot of the 2026 freshmen. We're going to do everything we can to keep you covered till fall camp gets going.
Well, it's well worth it again, so check it out, the Insider Board. Jackson, I appreciate it. As I say to my wife each and every day, thanks for putting up with me, and I'll talk to you again on Friday. That's exactly what I'll say to her, by the way, today. Thanks for putting up with me, and I'll talk to you again on Friday. That's the key to getting through the week, okay? So just mark that one down in that list of do's and don'ts. You're still not married, are you?
Nope.
Hello? Well, that's a long hesitance there. I don't know. That's not good, all right? So, well, I wish you luck. That's all I'm telling you. All right, Jackson. Hope people visit the board. I'll talk to you on Friday. Paizan, take care.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
He's stunned, ladies and gentlemen. He's been hit by a right cross when he wasn't looking. All right. Thanks to Jackson. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He'll have about 3 great hours for you. The Giants and the A's getting ready to start a series tomorrow at Oracle. I'll tell you all about that, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his business, Precision Civil Engineering, after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 252, about 3 minutes ago on the show. Thanks again to Jackson for his time. We'll be back with us on Friday. Paul with us tomorrow, Jack Furtig on Wednesday. We are off on Thursday, the Giants and the A's starting a 3-game set in Oracle tomorrow, and it'll be an afternoon game on Thursday. I'll tell you about the schedule right now for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Again, we commend Ed for the great work he does fundraising for the entirety of the Valley, in particular through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. The goal, as always, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and Ed running one of the really, truly great businesses you're going to find anywhere on the planet, and has meant a lot to Fresno State for a very, very large number of years. As far as the lineup, again, the Giants and A's have a couple of 6:45, 6:15 pre's. The A's are over on 790. They start their pre about 15 minutes earlier than an afternoon game on Thursday. Keep in mind Zach Geloff, who was hit in the helmet by a pitch on Friday night. Thank goodness he had the ear flap. Has a 24-game hitting streak, and so we'll see how that plays out. and the Giants are the immortal words of Michael Ray Richardson, the old poet laureate of the NBA. The Giants are in a little bit of trouble. Devers did not want to leave first base yesterday when he was in a position where he needed to be pinch run for in the ninth inning. And as Michael Ray Richardson used to say about the Knicks a long time ago, the ship be sinking, ladies and gentlemen. And I think the ship is sinking right now. Good luck to Tony Vitello, who has got to be wishing he was back in Knoxville right now. Hopefully the Giants can turn it around. And as you said, the A's, they have no pitching, but they can score 20 runs or give up 20 runs in a given night. Nobody is more entertaining than the A's. They'll start that series tomorrow. A quick reminder, it's Phil's great show, Behind the Bench, 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with a good friend, Rod Evedikian. Best furniture on the planet, the great conversation of Phil's show, El Paso across from River Park. You can always reach Phil on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Gonzo is back with us now in the morning with the Valley Rise Show, 6 to 9 a.m. Check that out. It's great to have Gonzo back after he was up in Sacramento as a PD for a couple of years. So we're really happy to have the morning show and the afternoon show on each and every day. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You get the live links and podcasts there. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net, TDAD, the number one, at att.net. Don't forget about Paul Metters and his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First Ring Sports, Saturday mornings on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon. The final reminders, we have baseball with the Giants and A's, and again, everything to the World Series, and of course, the flagship of Fresno State. That'll be us in just a week. We'll tell you more about that. Thanks to McKenna, thanks to Gunner, thanks to Gonzo, thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We'll see you with Paul Leffler tomorrow. Phil is coming up on KFIG Fresno.